And I'll go ahead and check mics. Mr. and Mrs. Pickett, are you able to see and hear us? I'm not. Mr. and Mrs. Pickett, can you see and hear us? We can see you. I don't think they can.
They can't hear. No.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Pickett.
Let me.
Okay. We're trying to get a hold of the applicants if anybody else is able to hear us.
Let's see.
The attendees, do we need to unmute them individually?
The attendees all have to let in one at a time.
Okay. We can chat with people.
I just sent a message to the applicant.
Thank you. In the meantime, you want to just go through the list and we'll...
There we go. Can you hear us, Michelle?
I don't think so. No response.
I'm calling her.
Okay. That's probably the best way to do it. Yep. They've obviously gotten the call.
Is it an interview?
We've lost
them. Hi, Michelle, can you see and hear us? You can see us, but you can't hear us.
They're no longer on as listed as panelists either.
They disconnected.
Yeah.
That's what I heard from some of the other parties that responded. So why don't you try to rejoin? Yeah.
I could hear them when they first joined.
Okay. There you are.
They're back. We can see them.
We can see you. And then is your audio on? Did you join by?
The volume's really, really low.
I think we're just hearing them through Lorraine's phone.
Probably increase your volume.
No, just hearing them through the phone.
Yeah. Do you want them to call in? I mean, is there a way to call in?
I'm sure there is. And sometimes people will do that. They'll call in and on the computer so they can see through the computer and hear through the phone.
I think you can do it. It's on the notice. And then it has a list of phone numbers on that notice that was sent to you. They would have the notice as well, right, Darcy? The link that you gave for the panelists. It has a dial in. I believe it did.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure it did.
On the notice? No. The notice is on the web page, though. The notice has the link to the web page.
Okay. He's trying by phone.
While they're trying, can we test the other microphone? Just go through the list and let them in and make sure they can see and hear us? Doesn't sound good.
Oh. They have to enter the meeting ID.
Hmm.
Let me see if I can. Oh, okay. My email just went down, so I'm not very helpful now.
It's crazy. I'd be so glad to get back to in-person hearings.
Yeah. Well, she's on there for the panelists. Mm-hmm. You see her, Darcy?
We can see them on. I can see them on the video.
Yeah, I can see them.
And we're hearing them through your phone. We're not hearing them through the computer yet.
So we can't seem to hear you.
I definitely see you.
Oh, she's muted, Darcy. She says she's muted. Can you control the mute?
I don't have her muted.
No.
If it's muted, it's from her end.
bottom left of her screen is the mute button. If she scrolls down, it'll show up.
So bottom left of your screen, you should have the mute control.
If she scrolls over it, it doesn't show unless you scroll down.
You have to scroll down. It doesn't show that she's muted. Hmm. Uh-huh. So when they called in, they were told that the message was is that they will be muted. Did you call with the notification?
Okay. Hold on. Is your phone number, does it end in 3679?
Does your phone number end in 3679?
Yes. Okay, I've got them.
Okay, she's got you.
Your phone is on mute.
She's
there. We go.
Star six. Okay. There you go. Okay.
Hey, there we go.
Wonderful. Mr. and Mrs. Pickett, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great. Okay, we're getting some feedback. Can you mute your computer?
Yes. There we go.
Okay, much better. And
okay,
we can hear you.
Beautiful.
Okay, good morning. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go through the list of attendees as well and make sure everybody else can see and hear us now that we've got you connected. So Ms. Reinhardt, you want to go through the list and unmute one person at a time and make sure they're connected?
Okay, I'm going to unmute Kathy Polinsky.
Ms. Polinsky, it still shows as muted. I'm assuming she needs to unmute herself.
I've asked her to unmute.
Okay.
There we go.
There we go. Good morning, Ms. Polinsky. Can you see and hear us, or at least hear?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and mute you, and we'll come back to you when it's opportunity to testify. We're just testing microphones at this point, or
okay,
connections.
Next up is Gay Lewis.
Yes, I'm here.
Great. And you can hear us?
Yes.
Great, thank you. We'll go ahead and mute you, and we'll go to the next one.
Joe Spaziani.
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you. You can
great.
Hear us?
Hey, Spaziani.
Yes, I can hear you.
Great.
Great. Martin Burrell. Martin?
Yep, we heard you for a second there. Can you say it?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, great.
Great. Patty Baricello?
Yes, I can see you and hear you.
Great.
And Terry Olson?
I am here.
Great.
Excellent.
Thank you all. Thank you all for your patience while we work through these connectivity issues. I will call to order this hearing of January 14, 2021 in the matter of appeal of case file Z0277-20-HO, an appeal of a denial of home occupation permit. My name is Joe Turner. I'm the county's hearings officer. I'll begin with some brief announcements and a summary of the process that will follow. This online hearing is reasonable and necessary at this time to comply with the state's social distancing order, maintain public health and safety, and meet state-imposed deadlines for decisions on land use applications. I start by saying I am not a county employee. I am licensed as an attorney and trained as a planner. I serve under contract to the Board of County Commissioners. I say that so you know you're getting a somewhat independent review of the appeal before me today. My role as the hearings officer is to hold the hearing and make decisions about certain land use matters in Clackamas County. In making those decisions, I am required to apply the county's existing laws. I am not a policymaker. I don't have the authority to vary from or change the laws. If you think that the laws need to be changed, you can work with the Board of Commissioners and Planning Commission to do that. But state law requires that this application and appeal be judged based on the laws in effect when the application was filed. As a hearings officer, I'm to provide an unbiased decision maker. I believe I am unbiased with regard to the application, or rather appeal, before me today. I have not had any pre-hearing contact with any of the parties regarding the substance of the application, and I don't have any interest in the subject property or any of the surrounding properties. You have the right to challenge my impartiality, to argue that I'm biased in one way or another, and you can do that when it's your opportunity to testify. Procedure will follow. I'll start by asking staff to summarize their staff report, copies of which should be available on the county's website. And the applicant will have an opportunity to respond to the staff report and present their proposal and respond and appeal. Then we will go through the list of attendees one at a time in the order they're listed there and ask if you want to testify in support, in opposition, or with questions or concern. Anybody who wants to say anything about this application may do so. Once everyone has had an initial opportunity to testify, we'll give staff and the applicant the opportunity to respond to the testimony that was offered. If that response includes any new evidence, I will give everyone a chance to respond to the new evidence. Otherwise, I'll close the public portion of the hearing and announce what I'm going to do. As I said, anyone with an interest in this application appeal may offer relevant oral or written testimony. The testimony must be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which are set out in the staff report. It is important that you testify orally or in writing in order to preserve your... My decisions are final for purposes of the county, but may be appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals or LUBA. But in order to preserve your right to appeal, you or someone expressly representing you must testify orally or in writing before the close of the record. And in order to raise an issue on appeal, someone must have raised that issue before me with enough specificity that everyone understands what the issue is and with evidence in support of that issue. If the applicant wants to object to any conditions of approval on constitutional grounds, they must raise those issues before me as well, again, with enough specificity and evidence that people understand what the issue is. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask me to hold the record open or continue the hearing. If I hold the record open, you'll have an opportunity to submit additional written testimony and evidence before I make a decision. If I continue the hearing, we can do this again at a later date. Whether or not the hearing is continued or the record is held open for any other purpose, state law requires that I hold the record open for an additional week for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence. The applicant can waive that right if they choose, but if anyone else wants me to hold the record open or continue the hearing for any other purpose, you must make that request before the close of the hearing today. In this case, I understand there's some power outage issues in the area where the applicant is located, in that neighborhood. So I am going to hold the record open for a minimum of a week after the close of the hearing to allow the public to review this recording of the hearing and submit additional written testimony if they want to, just to make sure anybody who's out of power, doesn't have it in it, therefore is unable to connect to this hearing, has an opportunity to testify before I close the record. We'll go into the specifics of how I will do that open record period and for how long at the end of the hearing. But my decisions must comply with state law that requires that I issue a final written decision within 150 days after the application was filed. So there's some limit to how long I can continue the hearing or hold the record open. When you testify, please state your name and your full mailing address. Please spell your last name so I get it right. Although most people are listed on the attendees or panelists on my screen, I want to make sure I get the spelling right. Also, if you come back to testify in response to other testimony, please state your name again, because it's not always clear who is speaking. That just makes everybody's life easier. As I said, testimony must be relevant to the applicable approval criteria, which is set out in the staff report. Also, please don't repeat testimony offered by yourself or earlier witnesses. This is not a popularity contest. Whether everybody loves the application or everybody hates it isn't an issue that I get to consider. The only issue before me is whether the application does or does not comply with the applicable approval criteria. Excuse me. But that concludes my introduction. I will start out with Ms. Gonzalez. You want to summarize the staff report or the staff decision in this case?
Yes, thank you. Darcy, can you pull up the PowerPoint for me, please? And then also the staff script. I did not have that available because, unfortunately, my computer system lost access to county files.
Okay, so you don't have access to the S drive?
I don't have.
Let me pull up the PowerPoint for you.
Okay. Either one's fine too. I just prepared you a backup plan.
Can you see it?
No. In fact, it has a check box next to it. Try the next one.
Are you seeing any of this, the PowerPoint?
No, I just see the S drive folder that's open for the hearings officer appeal packet, all the listed files.
Now we're just back to the usual screen.
Yeah, we're
okay. There we go.
Can you see it now?
I can.
All right.
So I think the first page was just basically identifying that this is a hearings officer appeal. So my name is Lauren Gonzalez. I'm the staff who actually processed the application. And we are looking at case file Z0277-20 for a home occupation. It's a level 3 home occupation that was applied. And today's proposal is to appeal the decision dated on November 9th to deny the proposal of denial of the level 3 major home occupation. I need to move our lovely pictures here so I can see my screen. Okay. So the home occupation business is to provide dump truck landscaping and excavation services and use an detached accessory structure to store vehicles and equipment. Next slide, please. Background on this is that the site is at address 16330 South Forsett Road, located just outside of Oregon City. It's a 17.22 acre timber lot. It has developed with a 1979 single family residence, several accessory structures, six of which are agricultural accessory structures. And the one structure that they propose to use for the business is through a building permit itself. The owners are Doug and Michelle Pickett. They've owned the property since 2014. Currently, they have a pending violation due to conducting the business on the property. That violation was filed on June 15th of 2020. The applicants thereafter submitted an application for a home occupation to proceed with compliance with the criteria of Section 822. The access on the site is by South Forsett Road. It's a minor arterial. which serves to as a collector for roadways that supports moderate volumes and speeds, and also serves as a collector to the higher volume roadways. Entrance, at the entrance, you do have the one access. I know there was comments from other parties saying that there's two access, but it is one access because it takes access to South Forsett Road just at one point of the entry. It is split, forked, and we'll see that in aerials as we move along on this application. The entrance is gated approximately about 45 feet back from the entry point of the right-of-way off of South Forsett Road. So their proposal for the home occupation was to operate the family-owned construction business owned by, as I mentioned before, Doug and Michelle Pickett. And the business is to provide, again, as I mentioned, dump truck, landscaping, excavation services to store company vehicles and equipment on site under the level 3 major home occupation criteria. Next slide. So the process, the application was submitted on June 29th of 2020. It was deemed incomplete on July 23rd due to inadequate site plan, missing floor plan, and also some lack of responses to some of the questions. The applicant in turn worked on the application to make it complete. It was deemed complete on October 5th. After it was deemed complete, notice went out to 32 property owners within 750 feet of the subject property. It went to the CPO and the relevant agencies and county departments. Out of the parties that were notified, we received 30 comments that were submitted, 29 by parties in opposition of the proposal and one in support of the proposal. As of January 3rd, I received one additional comment in opposition of the proposal. So staff did conduct a site check based on the number of comments that was received, went out to the site, took some photos, and then just in random, just selected one of the comments that I received to do a status. What is going on today? Because it had been about probably over a month as to when I was finally able to process the application. The status that they reported was that the activities were still ongoing the weekend prior. There was noise levels that were disruptive, and that was basically the comment. I have in turn had an opportunity to talk to the applicant as well to notify them of the number of comments that we received and just to get their perspective as to what was going on. And as of yesterday, I had an additional comment conversation with the applicant over the phone. They are taking a new direction and they'll be addressing this during their time. They have relocated over to Canby, but they are still doing activity on a personal level on their property. We'll get into that as to what constitutes still associated with the home occupation and what is not. So staff decision was rendered denial under the case file Z0277 on November 9th. Next slide. So the site plan that was submitted, you'll see that over to the south east corner of the lot, you'll see the single family residence. It's a 1979 residence. The boxes that are indicated by a solid X, those are the agricultural buildings. The box that is indicated by a circled X, which is, let's see, I can actually use my, this one right here. Can you see that, my arrow?
No.
Oh, okay. So the one that takes access
there we
and
go.
It goes straight to it. Mm-hmm. That is the structure in question that's used for the business. Now, this is the site plan is basically cut off from the actual property because there is a dense canopy, tree canopy that circles the property lines to the west, south, and north east of the property. And you'll see that in the aerials that I'll provide. Next slide. And next slide, Darcy. Oh, thank you. Alrighty, this is a floor plan of the structure proposed for use. And the proposal as was submitted was for storage of a dump truck. So the smaller plan off to the left of what you see on the visual, that's indicating the site specific. Now the dimensions as to what is shown in the smaller floor plan as opposed to the one that shows the overall structure. There's a little difference there. The smaller one indicates a 36 by 12, whereas the larger floor plan shows 12 by 32. So there's the difference as to what the square footage is. It's irrelevant in the respect to they are allowed up to 1,500 square feet for the business, but no more than that. The remaining square footage of the structure was not indicated as being part of the home occupation. The applicant does mention in the larger floor plan, office plus storage area for home occupation. But staff did not interpret what was shown visually as being office space and went with the assumption, which the applicant will clarify, that the office space was in the residence as opposed to this structure, since it wasn't illustrated. Next slide. So this will give you a general sense as to the location of the site. So off, there we go, right where Darcy's arrow is. That's indicating the structure, the parcel itself. It is to the upper north east side of the map there, above the Clackamas River. That is Happy Valley, as well as towards just directly north of it, as well as unincorporated Clackamas County. You'll see off to the west, northwest, that is Gladstone city limits. To the southwest is Oregon city limits. And you'll see the zoning on the property and surrounding area. Towards the south of Forsett, you get predominantly timber zone parcels. And north of Forsett, you'll see EFU parcels. And then towards the east of the map, you'll be seeing those are rural designations. Next slide. So I thought this was relevant in the sense of showing the topography and the features on the property. You'll see where the green lines indicate topography lines at 10-foot increments. You'll see that they narrow up or tighten up towards what is the blue line is the stream. It goes a little further south than what it's illustrated there. The dense canopy where it shows the darkened line, that is actually where the streamline is. The property use and home occupation use is not within that area, so they weren't required to go through a river streaming corridors review process. But I do want to indicate that toward the property itself is on the higher end of where the general vicinity is. And then as you go south along Forsyth, you get in some topography, some grade in that area. And I think that's important to note as I show you in the next slide. So next slide, there we go. Alrighty, so this gives you an idea as to how the area is developed. Laconic in nature, in the sense of agricultural use, timber use, are the predominance, and with some single family residents that accompany those uses. Forsyth Road, you'll notice that it has a little bend on there. And when I went to do a site check on that area, as you go towards the property from the bend, you're going up. And that's important to note because at the intersection of where the access is to the site, you're probably about 600, maybe a bit more from that drop in the roadway. So the visibility is a bit challenged there. So that's a point that was made during the notification process by some of the parties that responded. Next slide.
Does site distance, is that relevant to any of the approval criteria?
It really isn't unless you get into the exception. The exception criteria will require it. This does not. So it's just relevant in the sense of knowing where some of these comments are coming from.
Okay. The exception criteria, what are those? They don't apply in this application?
That's not applicable. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
That's when it goes beyond the scope of the level 2 and level 3.
Okay.
Next slide. So this gives the site specific here as to what's happening. So the applicant will further clarify this, but based on the site inspection, based on comments received, you'll see over in the area to right where your arrow is there, you have this accumulation of debris, rocks, etc. You have a bend over near the structure that's proposed for the use. That is usually what you see when you're at a landscape company where they store materials, etc. So there's a lot of outdoor storage is how staff perceived it. Again, the applicant will clarify. And there are some other items on there, but it shows the clearing off fronting Forsyth Road, and there are things that materials that it's really not very clear right here, but if you zoom this up even more, you'll be able to see where the soils and rocks, etc., are stored on site. Next slide. So getting into the actual criteria for the level 3 major home occupation. So the subsections of the level 3 criteria are shown here that were deemed it's feasible for them to meet this criteria. So first of all, they're in the timber zone and subsection 406.05 was applicable, basically saying it was not, the proposed use does not disrupt the activities of farming and forest activities in the area. And staff thought, yes, it's feasible for them to comply with that because everything is on the property itself and not off property. The operators, that's Michelle and Doug Pickett, they live on the premises, and that's feasible. That is in compliance at this point. Employees, the applicants only noted themselves as the employees. However, based on the accumulation of material that's on the property, dump trucks, excavation equipment, et cetera, it was difficult for staff to determine, yes, you only have you and the two applicants are the only ones because they need people to transport that equipment. So they're allowed up to 5. And so, yes, you can say that you can meet that criteria, and staff would say that that would be a condition of approval, no more than 5. And it's feasible for them to meet that. Looking at the next subsection on vibration, glares, and fumes, staff did not see where that could not be met and thought it was feasible for it to be met. The activities are grading, and as the applicant wrote their information, all these activities would be conducted off-site. So they'll have the transport of the dump trucks and such going to and fro the site, and stacking, or how do you say it, putting the construction equipment on the vehicles and transporting it offsite. So it wasn't something that staff felt that they could not comply. So it made sense to deem it feasible. Electrical interference, feasible. Signage, they're not proposing signs. If they did propose signs, then they would have to go through a modification of what they submitted in. But at this point, what they propose, it was feasible for them to meet. Vehicles in the right of way, as I mentioned, they have their property gated. They have enough acreage on the property to store any materials on the property. Those that are supposed to be indoors, they should be able to store it indoors, but the vehicles themselves, they would be able to be stored on site. Access petition, that's only required if they share access to the site. That wasn't applicable, so it's deemed feasible. Compatible structures in the agricultural and timber EFU districts, yes. It's a pole barn. It's compatible with the structures that exist in those areas. They're all over the place in that particular area. Hazard materials, there was no noted proposal to store hazard materials on it. It was deemed feasible. Level 3 major home occupation criteria. So the property is located and surrounded predominantly by parcels that are greater than 2 acres in size, so it's feasible for them to meet it. in the sense of meeting the level three criteria of being subject to review under that. Trips per day, 30 trips. And based on our definition as to what a trip, that's 15 round trips. Feasible based on the information that the applicant provided. Prohibited uses, there are no proposals for any of the prohibited uses that are under subsection 04L4. That is basically have a structure that requires more stringent regulations under the building code. That wasn't something that was proposed, or marijuana uses and activities, that's not proposed as well. So it wasn't applicable. Next slide. Subsections that was deemed as not to be in compliance, noise levels. Staff received many comments in reference to noise levels and activities on the site. At the time the application was submitted, a noise study was not required. It's feasible for them as if it was approved to do a noise study, that would be a requirement. But at this point, there was not one submitted in. Outdoor storage, as I mentioned in the aerials, there appear to be a lot of outdoor storage that is relevant towards the landscaping end of the business. And staff found it a little difficult to say that that was not part of it. So again, the applicants will clarify. 1,500 square feet of accessory building space. Let's see, I stated non-compliance of the structure that they're proposing is only the storage of the one dump truck based on all the equipment that was stored on site at the time that the application was submitted. At the time of the site inspection, there did not seem any possibility for them to store all that equipment within the 1,500 square feet. Also taking into account any landscape materials, et cetera. Next one is number of vehicles on the site. There'll be an aerial that'll show that how many vehicles are on the site, and based on the site inspections as well, it was more than what was stored on site. Also the 11,000 gross vehicle weights of a vehicle. Now keep in mind that trailers are also deemed as a vehicle when they're detached from a moving vehicle such as a truck. So if they're separated, then they need to be stored inside. When they're not, they are to be attached to a vehicle and not stored on their own. They are identified as a vehicle. Next slide.
Before you move from that one, I had a question.
Sure. Certainly.
The trailers are a vehicle, correct? That's what
correct.
You just said. So that unless they're stored inside, is that... That is what my understanding. Okay, so if they're stored outside, they can be stored outside, the trailers can be, but they're subject to the five vehicle limit?
Exactly.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was understanding correctly. Thank you.
Okay, so the input that staff received in opposition, in all for the subsection of referencing to noise, we received 15 comments in opposition and different levels as to where the concerns were. Fumes, dust, vibration received one comment in opposition. Outdoor storage, five comments. Traffic, activity of traffic, how many trips per day, seven comments, and two comments associated with vehicles on site, the number of vehicles on site. So the parties that provided input provided visuals for their concerns at the times in which it became a concern. So what you see on the left-hand side of your screen, you're seeing dump truck waiting to gain access onto the site due to the gate. And then off to the right-hand side, I think is more of an issue on the safety that people had submitted comments about is when the road is blocked at times because the equipment being queued until they can take access to the site. And then I have the exhibit levels, exhibits that were submitted in noted there. Next slide. So outdoor storage, this shows a number of items that are on outdoor storage. It appears that they had one of those things that gets your aerial photos.
A drone.
Thank you, that's what it was. So you'll see here the number of vehicles on the site, and it's pretty close to what staff witnessed when they went on site as well. Hard to determine on some of these as to, they all appear to be construction equipment like bobcats, excavators, those type of things. Trailers, as you can see off to the right-hand side of the right photo there, you'll see where the trailers are stacked and stored. The bin that I was referring to earlier is where, I don't know what that equipment is, a bobcat or
something yellow.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's kind of blocked off, and that's typically what you see at landscape equipment locations where they store rocks, etc. So they're using it just for storage of something. All right, so next slide. So additional oppositions that were just general. One is saying it's contrast to the community was the one comment. Character disruption not compatible with the area, six comments. Not in compliance with regulations, one comment. 11 were associated with the road conditions and safety. It goes back to what you were stating earlier that it's not subject to review, it's just general comments about the road safety component. Erosion debris on road. So this equipment, when they bring the road, the vehicles on site, they have debris falling off of it and onto the road. Next slide. So conclusion, based on the findings, based on the site inspection, based on comments received, input received from the applicant, the scale of the business is what exceeds the limitations of a level 3 home occupation. That was the findings. The number of complaints received, as I mentioned, influenced the decision. And I want to note also that a case file that was processed as an appeal for approval that staff had rendered, case file Z0131-20, page 4 of that decision, the hearings officer clearly stated that there is no authorization in the ZDO to allow a continued non-compliant use on a site. It actually doesn't benefit the applicant when they continue to use the use in the scale that is in non-compliance. Doesn't benefit to continue the use because it's measured by the activity. The activity, if it demonstrates that it's continuing on the scale that exceeds the level 3, it validates the issue that it's difficult for them to comply with the conditions, or not the conditions, but the criteria. And next slide.
Can I get a copy of that case file you just cited?
Definitely.
Thanks.
So recommendation for the hearings officer to uphold the staff decision of denial.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are we with 150 days clock?
We are very tight with 150 days.
That's what I assumed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't have the exact date. The 9th was the decision. Let's see. I'll have to calculate that for you.
Okay. If I can get that before the end of the hearing, would be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's some questions. I think you've addressed most of them. I'm just looking through my notes here. Okay, just a general question that may or may not apply to this one, depending on how it goes, but section 822.04F says that parking must be in defined areas and surfaced for parking. Is there a standard for surfacing in the code?
Only when we get into the exceptions. So the exceptions is when we have the other relevant agencies provide some comments, mm-hmm. and that's the engineering department, and they'll have their regulations as to how they required surfaced areas for parking. Building department also does that for handicapped areas.
Mm-hmm.
But staff doesn't regulate that. So it's basically, or planning doesn't. So basically we defer to the building codes as okay. to what they're going to require for ADA.
Okay. I think that was all I had. Okay. Yeah, you've addressed everything else. Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez.
Sure.
Mr. and Mrs. Pickett, do you want, it's your opportunity to testify. You'll need to unmute yourselves at that point.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It shows as mute on the screen because you got your computer muted, but we can hear you through the phone. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Michelle Pickett, spelling P-I-C-K-E-T-T. Address 16330 South Forsyth, Oregon City, 97045.
My name is Doug Pickett, P-I-C-K-E-T-T, same address, 16330 South Forsyth Road.
Okay.
Okay, is it our turn?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess we can go back to the PowerPoints and the pictures and whatnot.
Sure. Give us just a second. We'll have staff pull that up. Is there a particular photo you want to start with? There was an aerial and some of the driveway. I don't remember what all, but we can go through it all if you, whatever you want to, but you'll need to tell staff which photo specific or slides you're looking for okay. once we get it up. Ms. Reinhardt, are you able to pull up that PowerPoint? Yep, that's what I thought. It looks like you're trying to find it, but I want to make sure.
So why they're doing that, we'll talk about our position on the whole occupancy of the residents.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we've read and heard all the community's concerns, and Michelle and I have purchased a commercial property that we will run our business out of. We are still asking for this appeal due to the fact of we still live there at the residence. We drive company trucks, come and go from there personally, driving those trucks, and that we are under continuous improvements on our property, and we don't want that to affect what our business is and make sure that that's completely separate.
Okay. So when you say business vehicles, does that include the dump trucks and trailers or just pickups or?
Just pickups that Michelle and I drive. Company rigs full time. Mm-hmm. That's what our rigs are.
Yes, so we also your want personal sure vehicle. That, I'm sorry. Go
correct.
Ahead.
We also want to make sure that the county is aware of that. There's activity with. We have kids that come and go and drive, and we have a lot of personal trailers that we've had before we even started a business. So when you see some of the pictures, most of that is personal. Equipment or personal trailers and trucks that mm-hmm. have nothing to do with our business.
Okay.
Our business is ran off site, and all the material on the site was imported in to improve the property. It's not selling product out of that residence. Everything on the site was brought in to improve the property. And we can go to the pictures and identify all that.
Great. So can we just say so when we get to the slide you want.
Okay, we could go back. That aerial photo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you look down there up to the driveways, yep, the two barns to the left, that's what we're asking for those two barns to park the dump truck and equipment in there.
Okay, hang on a second. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm reading the your site plan correctly. So let me find that.
And we submitted an additional one that has not been shown in this hearing at all at this point.
Okay. Because the site plan, the original site plan, which just for the record is labeled as Exhibit 2, page 23, shows the white building to the, I guess it'd be the north, the right, white. Can we go back?
There's actually, there you go.
Yeah.
But the next one, actually, Darcy.
Back.
There you go.
So it shows to the buildings you were referring to in this drawing are to the left of that roadway. The
those two, yes.
Yeah, what's indicated there as the what would be the shop or the storage is that one with the circle X. So that's incorrect.
Mm-hmm. That is incorrect. We submitted the revised with just these two buildings over here.
Okay.
That's all personal there. That to the right is personal. All that's personal.
Okay.
Ag barns. So dump truck parked there, and then the other building had equipment.
And those you used both of those buildings on the left?
Yes, sir.
And do you know what the dimensions of those buildings are?
They're showing 24 by 60 for one.
I can't find my calculator.
Here you go. So one, you can only use the one because it's 1,440 square feet for just the one at 24 by 60 as shown on your dimensions there.
And then one's 12 by, where's the, yeah, one's a 12 by 36 that the dump truck sets in. That's that top one. And then one's a 24 by 60, which is the one down below it.
And you only want three stalls.
And we are only using three stalls out of that.
And I did not receive that. I'm apologizing.
Yeah, I'll ask that you submit your new site plan, your alternate site plan.
Okay. Yeah, we'll resubmit it.
Record. Okay.
And just to sum this up, we purchased this property in 2014, and it was dilapidated, had not been occupied for 2 years. We've been in a five-year remodel, just improving this property. Just as all the other neighbors and everybody else are too. So we've been ongoing improvements on this property that it seems that the neighbors don't like. And if we show the aerial photos and we can go around and we can identify what's personal, but our son has three trailers just by himself for dirt. He's into dirt bikes and whatnot. And so at this point, you guys are saying our son has to take her trailers off of the property and can't have his cars and trailers on the property?
No, you just have to identify which vehicles are personal and which are business and keep them separate.
Which we can do that. And then as far as the number of employees, we have four employees, and that was on the paperwork. And we only have one dump truck. We had a second one on site moving material that we don't even own. It was not ours, but we did. It has been on site and has came and gone as we have time in our schedules to improve our property. So as for the aerial photo, you look down to the bottom corner where you see the stockpile of those were boulders that we brought in. The property is on a hill, and we've spent a number of years building rock retaining walls to retain usability. I mean, the whole property is kind of on a hill, so we've done numerous walls to improve the driveway. We've done a lot of improvements over on the ag barns because the geography – all the water comes down through there from the neighbors from above, and we've regraded and recontoured to where it all goes to a ditch and drains out. When we purchased the property, the two ag barns out there were underwater when the rain season comes.
So can you address the rock crushing claims and kind of explain that further?
I'm sorry, who's speaking right now?
This is Michelle Pickett.
Oh, thank you. You're just barely off screen. I couldn't see you.
Sorry.
That, no, you're fine. I wasn't sure who was speaking. Go ahead.
We've never done any rock crushing on this site. We don't own a rock crusher. We had never done any rock crushing. I think what the neighbors are confused about is just the import of the rocks that we've brought in to improve the property. And so they're under the assumption that we're rock crushing or whatnot. And the numerous loads of gravel that we brought in to improve the property. Like I said, we're on a bottom of a hill. All the water drains to our property. So we've spent the last 5 years improving this property, not running the business out of it as if we're selling products like a landscape yard or supplier. We've never sold any product out of this property ever. We've only had our one dump truck come and go, and then we have employees that have came and gone. And then we have our company trucks that Michelle and I drive on a daily basis. It comes and goes. So if we're doing personal errands, we're in a company truck, and then we come and go. So and then as for all the complaints and opposing and deposing, we seem to have a really energetic neighbor that has lobbied against us and went door to door and getting all these opposing positions. And we've had a lot of neighbors contact us that did not oppose or do anything, that they just don't want to be involved. But and we definitely have a lobbyist against us, and it's a very aggressive. I mean, taking pictures of our kids, taking pictures of everything.
I understand that may be disturbing, but it's not something that's relevant to the issue before me. They're trying to document whether you're in compliance or not. And
no problem. So let's flip to the picture of the – it shows the equipment coming and going in the roadway. Okay, that one right there. So the entrances to the property are clearly set back where there's no equipment or any trucks in the road when we come in. The one to the right where the stop or the picture of the excavator in the road, that was a truck in motion that the neighbor took a picture as it was driving in. We clearly have enough setbacks off the road for any truck and trailer that we own or have ever brought in there. Is completely in with the gate shut and out of the road.
The trailer as well?
The trailer as well. Okay. I mean, there's the one is 55 feet back and the other one is 44 feet back. And
the gates, Mr. Pickett, the 55 and 40, could you give me those numbers again? And is it the distance from the right of way to the gate or the edge of the pavement to gate? Is that what you're measuring?
Yeah, I believe it's 58 feet on one, and I believe it's 48 or 50 on the other.
From the pavement to the gate?
From the pavement to the gate. So you can clearly pull it in with a truck and trailer and be out of the road. The one picture is in motion taken.
Okay, I understand.
And then there's when you pull into our driveway, which we only have one driveway, and then it splits off to the left for access to get to our ag barns.
Mm-hmm.
So... And as for the next picture, you can go to. Exhibit 4, you guys mentioned the bin there with the yellow trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That was built to retain the embankment that was flooding out our shops. That has no material in it. There's never been used for that. It was... Those blocks were put in to retain a wall to hold and drain and put drainage behind it to divert the water from flooding all those shops out. And then that's all of our personal equipment. The circle, there's a picture of a truck with a camper. There's our personal trailers. There's all that around there, with the exception of the yellow trailer, is all personal use. Down to the right is where we have the business activity. And then we do have staged the boulders for the improvement of the property. And that's right there.
So those two large trailers would appear to be trailers to the left of the photo. But yeah, right up there. Those are personal.
Those are personal. One's my son's, one's ours. And we have ATVs and motorcycles. We're active motor sport people.
And then behind that, next to the white barn, behind those two, yeah. Is that a dump truck?
That's a dump truck we were using on site. We don't even own that dump truck.
Okay.
It was just parked there that day. That one just came and gone as we needed it on site, because the dump truck that we own runs full time out into the community and services the community. So it leaves in the morning and it comes back in the evening. As for all that other stuff over there, our son owns dirt bikes. We have jumps on site. We ride on the site, and we have children. I mean, they're active, and
okay. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Pickett or Ms. Pickett?
Well, I think just to be clear, like Doug said in the beginning, is that
just for the record, this is Mrs. Pickett.
This is Michelle Pickett, yes.
Thank you.
We had employees in just over a year with our business, and it was never our intention to operate and run Dirt Tech out of the residence. We actively started looking for commercial property last February. Then COVID hit, and unfortunately, it has taken us this long to secure a property, and luckily, we did. We're moving everything to Canby, and that's a lot of activity that the neighbors are probably seeing right now, is us actively moving the business out of there. And we do have a subcontractor, and we have Dirt Tech that is performing home improvements on our property. And it's something that I mentioned to Lorraine in our conversation yesterday, was, you know, whether or not to proceed with the hearing, because with the timing, we are moving the business, you know, off of the property. And she had commented that there would be a conflict, and that's where I need to hear from you. If there is, if we choose to have Dirt Tech working on our property for us, doing improvements, is that going to be a problem? And she thought that there might be an issue. So we need to hear from you as to, you know, what are the rules and regulations around that.
Primary issue is going to be distinguishing your business use from your personal use.
But if we have a commercial property that we've purchased and we can mm-hmm. prove that, and our business is operating out of there, where would the conflict be if we, say, have Dirt Tech delivering gravel for our personal use, or Dirt Tech employees doing landscaping on our property? Where is that a conflict?
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it would be. I think it would be allowed. But again, the issue would be documenting and distinguishing that mm-hmm. to avoid enforcement. It may be in your best interest to document when you've got employees working on the site, when you've got deliveries from your business coming to the site for your personal use. Mm-hmm. So you can distinguish between what's business use and what's personal use.
Yeah. Our business is a commercial business.
Mm-hmm.
All activities go on commercial sites. We don't deliver any materials to our place. Even the new commercial property, we don't run commercial projects out of anywhere but the site that the commercial building is being built on. So
I understand.
I mean, we're structured on a commercial business is what we are.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple of questions, unless you have something else you want to say at this point.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
You say you have company trucks, which you and your wife use. Do your employees come to the site to pick up the dump truck or other equipment or vehicles?
One employee does, and that's for the dump truck. He comes in and parks and drives the dump truck out in the morning and then comes back in day. The other employees have company trucks that they drive to their houses and they drive straight to the job, or they come to our facility as needed when we have work going on site improvements. But other than that, all the company trucks are Michelle and I.
Okay. I've addressed most of them. Let me look here. I got a list of things, most of which we've addressed. You don't have any business trailer, or you will not have any business trailers on the site. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Okay. I think we've addressed all my questions at this point. Thank you, Mr.
All the trailers that are associated with the business are all logoed. All the trailers on our property are unlogoed trailers that are our personal use that we've owned before we even had a business.
So it has Dirt Tech sticker or something indicating it's a Dirt Tech vehicle?
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
And as far as the activity, it's our neighbors have just as much activity going on. Dump trucks coming and going, excavators, all that you can see from the road directly across the street. And they're saying they've been building a house, which is fine. That's their business. That's what they do. And we have no complaints about that. And they seem to have a problem with all of the improvements we're doing. I mean, all we're hearing from the community is that we've improved this property. But now that we've had somebody go lobby against us, now we have all these opposing opinions that people that don't even live close.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Pickett. Shall we go to public testimony now? Excuse me. And we'll just go through the list one at a time. Unmute you. If you want to say anything, you'll have the opportunity.
If you wish to testify, then you'll need to raise your hand.
Okay. And that's on the bottom center of the screen. If you move your mouse down, it'll show up. At least it does on mine. I'm assuming everybody else is the same way.
Okay, I have Gay Lewis.
Okay.
Yes, should I go ahead?
Yes, please.
Okay. My name is Gay Lewis, Lewis. My address is 16535 South Archer Drive, Oregon City. I live in the Hunter Heights neighborhood, which is directly up the hill from the property that we're discussing today. I would like to say that I have had no contact with anyone regarding this affair, other than my husband, who was unable to attend today. I've lived here for 16 years. I spend a lot of time in my yard. I have a beautiful view of the city. I love where I live because of the rural nature of this area. What concerns me is that over the years, we've had increasing noise coming from down the hill. All noise comes up the hill. We have heard a lot of beeping sounds from trucks, a lot of truck noise. And as we go down Forsyth to town, we can see that there is a lot of activity on this property. When I received the notice that there was a business that has started up there, that's what raised my concern. I am here to ask that a business not operate there. I feel that a landscaping industrial business would disturb the nature of this rural area. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, I have Joe Spaziani.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joe Spaziani. I live at 16287 South Forsyth Road, Oregon City. And first off, I would like to request that the record be held opened for whatever, a week or whatever you normally do, because I want to submit something in writing. But to answer a few questions that came up, I don't have a vendetta against the pickets. I really don't. It's just the fact that, in the summertime when their business is going hot and heavy, I mean, they have people coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning to fire up their equipment, and then they run it around all day until sometimes after dark. Now that it's January, the middle of January, everything's quiet over there, or fairly quiet. I guess yesterday they were hauling rocks from one end of the property to the other end of the property and dumping them. They had two dump trucks and an excavator there. They took a pile from one side and moved it and made a pile on the other side. The comment that picture that my wife took of the truck with the trailer and the excavator on it was in motion is not correct. That guy was parked there waiting for somebody to open the gate for him. And he was parked there for, 3 or 4 minutes until they got the gate open. So I don't know. He wasn't there. My wife was, and she knows what happened. My biggest problem with his whole application is this outside storage of everything. You know, he's got all of this stuff, all of this equipment sitting around there. And then during the day, it's coming and going. I can't hardly believe that, I looked at some of those trailers that he's got some 16,000 pound GVW flatbed trailers there. You don't haul motorbikes, on equipment like that. You haul excavators on equipment like that. And he's got several of them around. And then the thing about the breaking the rocks,
he
does it. He brings in chunks of concrete, and then on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, he breaks them up. I don't know what kind of equipment he's got to do it. Probably one of his excavators has a hammer on it. But he's out there on Saturday and Sunday breaking up concrete. I guess I should have gone out there and taken pictures of it.
I have a movie.
Oh, my wife says she has a movie of it.
You can submit that during the open record if you choose to.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
What the applicant is alleging is they're claiming that they've got their business use, and what you're referring to is they're saying is their personal use. That noise from their personal activities, remodeling, improving the property, could potentially violate the state noise ordinance, depending on how loud it is and when it's occurring. But if it's not part of the business activity, it's not within my jurisdiction and the scope of this application.
Okay.
But I appreciate the testimony. Go ahead.
Let me look through my notes here.
Go ahead.
There was some mention about the pond. Ms. Gonzalez said that the pond wasn't an issue because it was back a ways from
a stream. I didn't realize it was a pond as well, but
well, now it's a pond because they've dug it out and made it into a pond, so that's part of what they're doing in there. And she said that they weren't required to address that because they weren't working in there, but they are working in there.
That's not proposed as part of the business. That may require additional permits from the county and possibly the state if you're altering a waterway, creating a pond. I don't know. it's not something that's within the scope of my jurisdiction, but you can contact the county code enforcement and possibly the state. I'm not sure which agency exactly it would be, but the county could probably give you some guidance on that as far as whether that requires additional review by other agencies, but it's not proposed as part of this business use, which is what's before me.
Well, right. I'm just commenting on Ms. Gonzalez's
sure.
comments, the fact that it didn't need to be addressed because it was not in the area that they were working, but in actuality, it is in the area that they were working on.
Mm-hmm. But so, it's not proposed as part of their business. It's their right. personal use.
No, I'm just
no, I appreciate you raising the issue. I just want to make sure everybody knows what I get to consider and what alternatives, ways to address those issues are.
Okay. So I guess I'll save the rest of my comments and put them in writing.
Okay.
That would be all for me then.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I have Kathy Polinski.
Looks like you need to unmute yourself, Ms. Polinski.
My name is Kathy Polinski, Polinsky. Our home is on 1513.
I'm sorry, just a moment. Sorry. My cell phone was going through my computer. Apologies. Go ahead, Ms. Polinski. I didn't mean to interrupt.
My home is on 15137 South Lau Court. And we use Forsyth Road as our access. We live just at the top of the hill towards Berkeley. And we've lived here for 30 years. I did write some notes down. Some of them have already been addressed. I'm a little curious as to why the business requires 30 trips a day if all the vehicles are, if all the work is done off site. To me, that indicates that they're hauling materials onto the property.
That's what the code allows. That's not what they've proposed. So the code allows a maximum of 30 trips, and a trip is in or out. So 15 trips, round trips, is what the code allows.
That's what the code allows, but I thought I read somewhere that they had asked for 30 trips, and Ms. Gonzalez approved 20 or said 20 was what was allowed.
Now, if this were approved as a level 3 home occupation, they could have up to 30 trips per day.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
15 round trips.
Okay, but if they're not storing materials on the property and they're doing all the work off property, why are 30 trips a day required with one dump truck?
I understand, but that's what's allowed is not necessarily what they're proposing.
I get that. But
I can't limit them beyond what the code allows, so I couldn't impose.
Okay, well, I'm not concerned about the number of trips. I'm concerned about the fact that if the property isn't being used for storage, are they hauling stuff back onto the property as part of those 30 trips in their projects?
Mm-hmm.
That's my concern.
Right, and the only way it would count towards those 30 trips is if it was part of the business. If they're hauling it in for personal use to improve their property, as they had.
Okay.
That doesn't count towards the 30 trips.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
I also find it interesting that when Ms. Gonzalez visited the property, that it wasn't identified until just today that the majority of the vehicles on the property are personal.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been known at the time that the inspection was done. So that feels a little curious to me. And, you know, given all of that information, it does indicate that the property is in excess of what is being proposed in the application. And then in the PowerPoint that Ms. Gonzalez showed, the report her report indicated that many conditions could possibly be met in most of the categories. And what is the expectation for these to be met before the business resumes? My view of the property is that nothing has changed. It seems to me that if this was gonna operate on the up and up, that some changes would be in the process of being made. Nothing's changed. And then my last, I do have a question on access to the gates. My question on access to the gates is, do you have to swing wide onto the blind curve on Forsyth Road in order to get the pickup or the dump truck and the trailer with the excavator onto the property? I'm happy to hear that, you know, the business is reportedly relocated to Camby. And I'd like to know how you are going to, how it is sorted out. It's so complicated. How is it sorted out with the business that they own doing the work on their property? I think it's a conflict. And the other thing that I've observed over the years is I never observed any flooding of that property or the outbuildings being underwater. So just my feedback. And I don't think that Forsyth Road is sufficient to host the type of vehicles that are going up and down that road. And I have been blocked a couple times, so that's my feedback. Thanks.
Thank you, ma'am. I don't see any other raised hands, so if anybody else wants to say anything about this application, please raise your hand now by bottom of your screen. There's a little bar there, and we got one. Mr. Spaziani, we see you. But if anybody else wants to, you'll need to raise your hand now. We'll go to Mr. Spaziani. If nobody else has raised their hand after we're done with Mr. Spaziani, we'll go back to the applicant. Can we go to Mr. Spaziani?
Actually, it's Penny Spaziani.
Oh, okay.
S-P-A-Z-I-A-N-I.
Can you, Penny is with an I or a Y?
Y.
Okay, that's what I thought I heard an I, but thank you. Go ahead, Ms. Spaziani.
Yeah, I just wanted to address a couple of things about him talking about construction equipment going onto our property. Yes, we're building a house. And yes, it takes a while. It's taken a year and a half for us to do that. And that's why vehicles were coming in and out of here, but not on a regular basis. And as far as him saying people didn't have the right to have input because they didn't live right next door to them. There's a lot of people that use Forsyth Road that have input on his vehicles coming in.
There is no standing requirement for this, so anybody can comment regardless of where they are living.
Right. It was just the fact that he was Mr. Pickett was commenting.
And I understand.
Which I agree. Everybody in the world can use that road.
Yep.
And he never said anything before about moving his business or putting it in Canby. And so that's just kind of convenient that all of a sudden they're moving the business. And I agree, if he's going to suppose it. And yeah, yesterday, actually, that dump truck and his giant boulders ran several times for 2 days back and forth and banging boulders and banging the gates on the dump truck.
Mm-hmm. But if that's personal, for their personal improvement of their personal property, it's not part of their business. It's not subject to this this permit. It might violate state laws regarding noise. That's about the only standard I could think of off the top of my head that might be violated. But if it's not part of the business, if it's personal use, the fact that they also own a business that does that doesn't make it illegal or subject to this permit.
Well, then I guess I'm curious, would he be allowed to do that every day of the week, all day?
Yes, if it's personal. You know, if they've got a lot of improvements that they want to do, subject to erosion control, grading permits, noise regulations. There are a lot of other regulations that apply. It's just this permit wouldn't affect it because it's a personal use. It's not a business use. You could do the same thing. The fact that they own their own construction or excavation business makes it easier because they don't have to pay somebody to access that kind of equipment, do that kind of stuff. They can do it themselves with their own equipment. But if it's their personal property improvements, it's not part of their business.
So then we could go through another agency or something with another complaint about the noise, the smell, and et cetera.
Potentially, yes.
Use.
The smell, I don't know who regulates that because construction causes impacts. But if those impacts exceed standards, then yes, I think I can't tell you which agency for sure.
Yeah.
I just don't know off the top of my head, but there are noise regulations that are much broader than the county's regulations for businesses. I believe it's 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. There's a noise limit. And then between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., it's much lower, 10 decibels lower, but it is a pretty broad range and it does provide exceptions for certain activities. But that's what it would be subject to is those state law noise regulations, which I believe is DEQ. Odors, okay. I don't know. Grading, if they're moving a lot of dirt, it may require a grading permit. If they're altering the stream, that almost certainly would require some kind of state and possibly county review and approval. But again, that's all separate from their business proposal, which is before me.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, ma'am. Okay. We have one more person who's got a raised hand.
I have Kate Spaziani.
Yes, my name is Kate Spaziani, KateSpaziani. And it was brought up originally that why we had waited so long to file a complaint.
I'm sorry, I need your address, please.
Oh, thank you.
16317 South Forsyth Road. And one of the reasons that we had waited for so long to make the complaint was we thought it was just personal improvement of the property, but it got worse and worse and more until it was unbearable to live across the street, basically. We couldn't use our front door or our front yard. We were constantly bombarded with fumes and noise. And that's when we decided to file the complaint because it just continued to get worse. And so when it impacts your neighbor's quality of life, I mean, that's above and beyond just a normal personal construction improvement. That's a business. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. We have one more raised hand.
I have Martin Burrell.
Mr. Morrell, looks like you're muted right now. You'll need to unmute yourself bottom left of your screen. If you mouse over it, it should appear. You're still muted. Mr. Burrell, you're still muted. We're not hearing you. You'll need to unmute your microphone, which should be on the bottom left of your screen. If you mouse over it, it will appear. We're not hearing you. Can you give us the phone number? Ms. Reinhardt, can you give us... Oh, wait. Now he's not muted.
Yes.
There we go. There we go, Mr. Morrell. We can hear you.
The picture disappeared altogether. I'm not familiar with this, and I didn't know how to get the pictures back.
Okay.
First of all,
Mr. Burrell, I need your address, please.
Yes. What's your mailing address?
I need your address.
Oh, my name is Martin Burrell, B-U-R-R-E-L-L, and it's 14921 South Victory Road, Oregon City. And I'm not familiar with what this, you know, this structure. I sent a long email in last night to someplace, an address here, where it said to send the emails. Okay. So you should have it. But anyway, if you don't, I'd like a call at 503-655-9017. 503-655-9017.
Okay.
I've lived in the area for over 40 years, 50 years, something. Anyway, I live on Victory Road, 14921 South Victory Road. First of all, your pictures of the area, the pictures showing roads in the area, that's way outdated. That's disingenuous. So what's there now? That thing, it doesn't show Victory Road properly. You can't even go down Victory Road very easy with a dump truck anymore. It used to be a dangerous road, and the county put in a new road. That's an old picture.
Okay.
Okay. The second thing is, we knew the family that built the home. They were a doctor and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
They built it with those agricultural sheds and stuff, and they raised different things that amused them. And you still call them agricultural buildings. Those things haven't been used for agriculture for 10 years.
But the issue is whether they were built for agriculture rather than specifically for this business.
Well, it matters on tax purposes. You can't call them agricultural buildings if they're for tax purposes.
That may be true, but it's not something that I get. Taxes are separate from this issue.
Oh, yeah, I know. But it's disingenuous to call them agricultural buildings on those pictures.
Okay.
And they haven't been used for agriculture.
But it doesn't affect, it's not really relevant to the application.
Okay. Now, when the doctor built the place, he built it with agricultural ground all the way around those buildings. This new owner, he's taken and he's rebuilt the laydown areas for his business two or three times. What you see today wasn't what you saw a year ago. What you saw a year ago wasn't right before that. Why in the world has he constructed a huge laydown area for materials that he doesn't intend to move in and out of there? That's the first question. Is he spent a lot of money, time, and energy building those, removing trees, leveling out huge areas of the property not for go-karts, not for personal vehicles, for his business. He spent probably over $100,000. If you added up the time, if you assessed it all. And so it's completely different than it ever was before he owned it. And he's removed all the vegetation from around those sheds. So it's truly right that they shouldn't be labeled agricultural.
Okay.
Okay, now, how does he get how does he get, how does he access the business? What roads?
He goes on, well, the driveway access Forsyth, and then he goes wherever he needs to go.
Okay, so he's on Forsyth. Now, from what he's saying, he wants to go down across the new Carver Bridge.
That's not relevant to the
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'll, no, sir, it's not.
I'll tell you. No, I'll tell you. The road that accesses the Carver Bridge is not limited to truck traffic.
Okay, but that's a highway issue. It's not something that's relevant that relates to the criteria.
He can't have the business if he can't cross the road, the bridge.
He can go the other way. And the code doesn't.
If he wants to spend zillions of time.
Yeah, but he can go the other way. The code that applies to this application doesn't regulate access and transportation issues.
Okay, but it's all. But what I'm saying is that road is limited to truck access, and it only takes a few miles to get into the area he wants to deliver material to and that he wants to drive his dump truck to every day. He has to go down Forsyth all the way to 205, and
it takes
him another 20 miles.
Okay, but that would be a transportation or a sheriff.
Well, you need to write it down in there so they can look at it.
Okay.
Because that's terrible to put that on Grinland Road has a sheer drop off in places on one side. It barely gets a school bus up it. And he wants to take dump trucks down it.
I understand, Mr.
There's
Perrella.
Signage down there that says no heavy vehicles.
I understand. But again, it's not an issue that I am able to consider in this application.
Well, you should, because that's what he's wanting to do.
I'm bound by what the code requires, sir. If this doesn't meet the approval criteria, I have to deny it.
You can't access it.
Okay. It might be appropriate to include that in the code, but it's not. The Board of Commissioners didn't include that a requirement that addresses access and transport off-site roadways.
Okay, I agree with people. Okay, Forsyth. What? I've lost the stupid picture there. Forsyth Road. Somebody should note that it's used for bicycle races. Mm-hmm. It's used for bicycle enjoyment. It's listed in where to take your bike in Portland. Mm-hmm. Take it up Forsyth. The road has no shoulders.
I understand, sir, but these are public roadways that the applicant has the right to use consistent with applicable regulations.
He shouldn't be allowed to use it.
I understand that that's your opinion, sir, but it's not regulated by the code. I understand your concern, but it's not regulated by the code.
Yeah. Well, he has old pictures. They don't show how he's going to get out of his property. They just show how he's going to get onto Forsyth. You need a picture showing how he's going to get somewhere.
Again, sir, the code that applies to this use doesn't address off-site access and roadways. Once he's on Forsyth, he's subject to transportation standards and regulations, speed limits, et cetera.
So you know that he's completely redesigned the property as a laydown area for his landscape business.
Okay.
Complete. You get an old picture of what the property looked like. You see what he's done. He's developed it not for storing wagons, not for storing bikes, not for storing stone and rock and boulders. Mm-hmm. And he goes in and out with that stuff all the time. I don't care what he says. I know what he does. Mm-hmm. So do these other neighbors. The material in there today isn't what was in there a couple months ago. Sure, he's built some retaining walls. You don't need all that massive amount of stuff to build a few retaining walls.
Okay.
And the reason he built the retaining walls is to get paths for his heavy trucks to go in and out. Before, none of that. It was like a farm.
And he's
everything he's done there is for his business.
Okay, I understand that. I understand. Thank you, sir.
And the access at the gate can't handle a dump truck and a track hoe or something else behind it, or just another. What about a two-part dump truck where he brings in a double? A double wouldn't fit there on through the gate. There's no way.
Okay.
And you can't tell him he'll only take singles in. Once you say he can take dump trucks in, he has to be able to take a trailer in and dump both. It's really upsetting that someone wants to put up a construction business, and that's what it is, on this piece of property. It was being used well for what it was. Somebody saw a cheap piece of property because it was sold very cheap.
I understand, Mr. Burrell, and that's why we're here.
And he has a good eye for profit. That's very good. But putting a business in there like this doesn't bide well with me, and I've been.
I understand, Mr. Burrell, and that's why we're here, is to consider that those impacts.
Yes, I guess I'm going to say good day.
Okay, thank you, sir. We have one more raised hand.
Kathy Polinsky.
Thank you. And your address?
15137 South Lau Court, Oregon City, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I just want to comment that, you know, I think I said it once before, but I'm going to emphasize it again, that, you know, this was clearly an application for a business. Suddenly things changed during the Pickett's testimony that everything on the property is for personal use, with the exception of maybe a dump truck and a trailer. And it changed overnight. That just doesn't feel right to me. I don't think it feels right to the other people that are testifying. And I do agree with Mr. Burr that the changes that have been made to the property truly appear to be a lay down for the business. And it's just, and I know this isn't probably related to the permit, but why is it that all of this work can happen to develop a business and then it's easy, you know, the old saying, it's easy to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. The intentionality of this is quite disturbing. And that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Polinsky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. and Ms. Beckett, we'll get back to you next. I'm going to go to staff first to see if they have any response, and then it'd be your opportunity. Ms. Gonzalez, anything you want to add in response?
Okay. So as the Pickett's had explained, there is a turn of events in which they have opted to locate over in the city of Canby. The question concern remains about the activity on site. I had a conversation with Mrs. Pickett yesterday in the sense of it would be worth their effort to explain and hold true to a 2-week time frame in which they conduct their business. It's not required by law, but at the same time, the unrest of the community is based on the activity on site. So that was a recommendation, unofficial recommendation to the staff. I'm concerned about the comment that additional site plans were submitted in, and I do not have record of any of those. Mm-hmm. So I am concerned about that. The dimensions that they provided for the additional structures calculate to 1,872 square feet, which would exceed the 1,500 square foot allowance of it. So there's that comment. Question also on the logoed employee vehicles or business vehicles by Mr. and Mrs. Pickett that are used on site. Now, we can say that they locate off-site and they're at the City of Canby. Their equipment is stored at the City of Canby. Business is conducted from the City of Canby, and they drive their logo vehicles home. I believe there's a previous hearings officer's decision on logo vehicles on site, but if you have stockpile of more than the two vehicles that the individuals own, a lot of times it's hard to discern about, is it personal or is it business? But once they have business logos on the vehicles, then it becomes more of a question about, is it totally business? Are you conducting the business offsite, on site? And even if they did do a portion of their business on site as a level one home occupation, you can have two vehicles on site. You can have an office that doesn't exceed 25% of the square footage of the residence that is conducted in-house. So the reality, I mean, we're all experiencing working from home. So conducting your business at home in minimal square footage on site is something that could fall under that level one criteria. And then it's not subject to review, but any storage, any accessory structures used, that is subject to home occupation review. Going through my notes, I think it was good that you clarify as to what is this noise that's been generating what they described as rock crushing. And you've described, I think Mr. Spaziana explained it as concrete crushing. The purpose of that is that for on-site is a question, or is that affiliated with the business itself? Question was asked by Ms. Polinsky about, well, when are they supposed to be in compliance with the decision for approval is generated, I mean, approved if staff's decision is overturned. The answer to that has always been, once you receive the code enforcement notification that you are not in compliance, you should be in compliance. You should start being in compliance. The first step of compliance is submitting in that application. By continuing business outside of a scope of a level three or level two or whatever the level is criteria, it's in violation and it shouldn't be existing. Employees, I think I've addressed that. The dump truck, the one dump truck, it is confusing, I would say, in the sense of you identify one dump truck, but there's a multitude of vehicles on site. So the clarification, and I usually do this with home occupation applicants, that if you have a home occupation and there are questions about how many vehicles are affiliated with that business, it would behoove you to provide an inventory of those vehicles associated with the business, those vehicles that are associated with personal use. And that helps clarify for county staff. If a code enforcement has to go out to the site again, they have an inventory of that and they can rectify, yes, this is within that listing and that's allowed. It just makes things run smoother for all parties involved. The clarification is important. List of equipment, personal on-site vehicles, logo. I think I addressed that. Time frame. I think it would be good to have some clarification regarding the request that We want to continue the improvements to our landscaping project on site. I mean, I've done a landscape project. It took me a year to do it on my urban size lot. As to what it takes for a rural size lot, well, you know, it's up in the air for me, but when your employees are on site, you're hired by your business, your employees are on site, it would be nice to have a clarification as legally where are the parameters. And that way we can use that for future land use application processing. There are a number of questions that came up regarding the grading, the stream. The stream, I think Mr. Turner correctly identified where staff was going on that. It's not part of this application in respect to, that's not what they're proposing to be part of the home occupation activities. So it wasn't subject to review. The location of their accessory structures already constructed. It's not subject to the review. However, it doesn't mean that there isn't a land use review process if they are indeed working in the stream or such. And if you'd like to email me, I can go ahead and forward some additional comments to that about what are the other all parties, Mr. and Mrs. Spaziani and Mr. and Mrs. Pickett. You can email me about what you need to do on that later. That's separate from this review process here. So I think I pretty much addressed most of my concerns, the employees about, you know, how many who can be on property associated with the business, associated with personal use. Clarification on time. You mentioned the 2 weeks, Mr. and Mrs. Pickett, so just want some really concrete time frame. It's not required for personal use, as Mr. Turner has identified, but at the same time, I think it would help ease some angst amongst your neighbors. And then the inventories of the vehicles. Okay, so I think that pretty much covers it. If you have any questions, let me know.
Where are we with 150 days? Did we figure that out?
We are well beyond 150 days.
Okay.
Calculated. We're at 160, 175.
Okay. Just so everyone knows what that means, state law requires that the county issue a final decision regarding this application within 150 days of the date the application was deemed complete. We're past that. That allows the applicant to seek review in circuit court through a writ of review. Not a writ of review.
Mandamus,
thank you. Writ of mandamus, which is a separate process. It essentially shifts the burden of proof to the county to show that this use isn't allowed, but it is an involved process. It's up to the applicant, but they have that right to do that because the county has exceeded this timeline. It doesn't affect my review in any way unless they file a writ of mandamus, in which case I lose jurisdiction over this application. So that's what that 150-day issue means. As far as the two-week standard request by Ms. Gonzalez, I agree it's in the applicant's best interest to move their business as soon as possible and bring this into compliance, either with eliminate the business entirely or if I approve the application, I would impose conditions of approval that require that they limit the use to what is allowed by the code, and I would be very specific about what those would be. If they don't comply, that's a code enforcement issue. If they bring it into compliance quickly, then code enforcement, it would eliminate the issue. Code enforcement won't take any action, but it's not something I have any jurisdiction over. I can't say you have to do this within 2 weeks because I don't have a hammer, so to speak, to make them do it. I can only approve or deny this application. Compliance is with, if I deny the application, code enforcement would have to take action to ensure that they cease use. If I approve the application, they would have to comply with the conditions of approval. If they don't, code enforcement would have to take action to ensure that they do or that they cease the use. There are options out there, but it's not within my, I don't have any way to force them to do that. Mr. Spaziani has his hand raised. We'll get to you in a minute. I have some questions for the applicant, but we'll get to that. Mr. Spaziani, I see your hand raised. Unless it's a, I can't take any more testimony. I've had the public's had an adequate opportunity to testify, but if you have a specific procedural question, we'll go ahead and take that. Can we bring Mr. Spaziani on?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Now this is a technical question. I'm confused as to whether they're modifying their application or it's the same application. They're just going to do something
different.
They're changing what they're doing on the site, I guess you'd say. I don't think that the application is really going to change. They're still going to do what they propose. One business dump truck, two personal vehicles, one employee coming and going from the site to pick up the dump truck. That's my understanding of what they proposed. I'll ask them to, during the open record period, they can clarify that in greater detail, but that's what they're proposing now. Not significantly different than what they were proposing, but they are saying it's my understanding, they're going to reduce the scope of what's going on or what they want to do business related on the property by locating on another property.
And they have 2 weeks to do this?
Okay.
The 2 weeks, they should do it within 2 weeks. I think it's in their best interest to do that. I don't have a way to force them to do that. That would be through the code enforcement process. It is in code enforcement right now. Code enforcement has, my understanding, paused that process because they've filed this application. If I approved the application subject conditions and they complied with those conditions, they would be in compliance. The code enforcement process would cease. If they don't, or if I deny it, the code enforcement process has to proceed. And the code enforcement has a handle through fines or other methods to make them comply.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Mr. and Mrs. Pickett.
Yes. Our turn?
Yeah.
So there again, I want to reiterate that we have purchased commercial property and are not running our business out of there. We are asking for this to be approved so we can do what we've requested with no problems with the neighbors, but we have seen and understand what the neighbors' complaints are, and that's what we are in compliance with. The whole 2 week window that was discussed yesterday was we have projects going on site, personal projects, and we've had them scheduled, and looks like it's only an additional 2 weeks before we're done with those. That's where the 2 weeks came in there.
Okay.
As far as in compliance with it is we've started moving all of our equipment to the property. It just
to
taken
the
time.
Commercial property.
That is correct.
Okay.
We purchased the commercial property zone proper for this, and we've already started the process of moving equipment over there, with the exception of what equipment we need on site for the improvements. And that will come and go as we continue to improve this property. I've heard a lot of testimony from people who have been there a long time and whatnot. And I have numerous pictures from the day we bought this to today on all the improvements we've done on this. This property was dilapidated. It had not been lived in for 2 years. And we did and are using it for agricultural. We had cows, and we ended up getting rid of the cows because the barns were flooding out. And so that's where the improvements came in. You couldn't even access the barns until we had put a driveway to the barns. We're just trying to better this property, and it seems like it's raised a lot of ruckus in the neighborhood. And it's coming to a wind down. We've had a lot of activity with building these rock walls. We brought in a lot of rock, and I can show through a series of pictures of where and why, and it all makes sense. It's not for industrial use. We don't want an industrial property. it's just bettering it. We've put landscape berms up. We've spent a lot of money on landscaping, on improving this and for the neighbors. And we've got a lot of feedback from the neighbors that don't want to be involved in this hearing, that how the improvements have made all their properties better. And as far as, there's a lot of other activity going on in the neighborhood that contributes to the noise. And a good example is the county just redid Victory Lane. There was all summer, there was Kerr Construction and the county in there building the roads. There's neighbor above us building the house. There's a neighbor below us that logged off 40 acres. There's the neighbors across the way building their own home.
I understand,
there's
Mr.
a lot
Pickett.
Of noise and activity is what I'm getting at.
I understand.
So we are and will be in compliant, and we're asking the neighbors to recognize that we've heard their complaints, and we've been in the process of a purchase of a property for over a year. So it is official, and that's where we're at. And so we're asking for this to be granted. So we do have access to our property for our business as needed without restrictions and neighbors having a problem with it.
Okay. Does your back...
This is Michelle Pickett.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
I wanted to comment on a couple of things. One is that I think there's a big concern about the dump truck, and truthfully, the dump truck is starting to operate out of our new property this week. It is coming and going this week to help move equipment off-site to our new property. I wanted to comment on Penny stating that she finds it convenient that this is happening overnight. Like Doug mentioned, it has been a process. It's very difficult to find commercial property in Clackamas County that's zoned correctly. I will provide Clackamas County with the address of the new business property so you can verify Great. It with records of us purchasing the property. And I think that the neighbors are going to see a change here really quick. It is timing is everything. And that's what I told Lorraine yesterday, is that we didn't know if we wanted to even go through with this process. That is a time consuming for everybody involved. And we understand that because we truthfully are going to be operating majority of our business, staging all of our equipment at our new property in Canby. But we don't want to be limited in the fact that if we do have a company truck come to our house for business reasons or for personal reasons, that we want to make sure that we have this permit in place and that we are operating in compliance. Lorraine stated that she didn't have the site plan. I have the site plan that we submitted that has the revised square footage that we're asking for. It was revised on 10/19/20, and you'll see Lorraine that documented. If you don't have it, when I have internet service at home again and I have power, I will resubmit that to you this week. And the square footage we're asking for is under 1,500 square feet. I think it worked out to 1,432 square feet.
Okay. Yeah, if you want to provide that during the open record, that would help.
Absolutely. And I will also provide photos of all of the boulders and the walls that we've placed, as well as further explanation on the rock crushing, the crushing of concrete. I'm not really sure where that's coming from. It sounds like there's a video. I do know that we were building structure so we could drive back to our ag barns. Or the goal is eventually to possibly have cows again one day, but it's not in the near future for us. And truthfully, we don't want to live in an industrial property. Again, it was never our intention. We love our home. We bought property and acreage for a reason, and we want it to be peaceful and enjoyable for everyone. Mr. Burrell commented that we have requested access to be able to drive our dump truck across the Carver Bridge. I'm not sure where that's coming from. We actually don't access or drive that way. Gronland is a very dangerous road, and we would not want our dump truck going that way. But I think it's a moot point at this point, because like I said, we will be operating the dump truck and parking it and starting it and keeping it stored at our new property in Canby, which is located on 99E. Is there anything else, Doug, that I think we have?
I have one more that needs, I would like to put on the record that from the purchase of this property, and you can look at the series of dates of when we started our business. We were improving this property way before we even owned the business of Dirt Tech. I worked for a large company that I had access to all the equipment prior to us even starting Dirt Tech Northwest. And the improvements had started from the day we purchased it and had continued. The only changes that we opened our own business versus working for, and that was only 2 years ago. So I would like that on the record that we have not owned and operated Dirt Tech out of there since the purchase of that property. It's just been in the last 2 years that a dump truck came and gone. But all the activity and improvements were started from the day we purchased the property.
Okay.
And we've also owned Tracos and trailers for our personal farm use on the property. So that will continue. Will the activity be as much as it has been? Of course not. It's gonna be greatly reduced. And we are very busy. We're not at home working on the property day in and day out. We are right now because we're trying to get through a series of improvements over the next 2 weeks. But we go to work, and we have a 2,600 square foot office at our new property that we will drive to every day and work out of the office. So on our new property. So again, I think that things will be notably different. We want to have good relationships with our neighbors, and it's unfortunate that it's come to this point. And a simple conversation possibly would have really helped things 6 months ago. And, you know, I think we could have come to these terms a lot closer or a lot sooner.
Okay. Okay. Does your dump truck have a backup beeper?
Yes. Okay. Per OSHA and code, you in ODOT, you have that, yes.
Do you know what the decibel level of that beeper is? Or can you provide that?
I can find out the manufacturer of the beeper, and it's in within code. We
okay.
work on huge commercial intel properties.
But it may meet state law.
I'll get that information.
It may meet state law. It has to meet the county code as well. There was some discussion in the staff report about the length of time it takes to start the truck has to idle in order to warm up.
Originally we had submitted, and I hadn't asked Doug when I was filling out the application originally, and I said idle for 15 to 20 minutes in the morning. Mm-hmm. That is not accurate, and I spoke with Lorraine about that. Like, literally our driver comes, does a walk around to look at the truck, and then he starts it and goes. So
okay.
five minutes,
yeah. But again, I think it's a moot point because the dump truck's not going to be operating.
Well, we want to have the option for the
right.
dump truck to be able to be parked there overnight or not, and not have to worry about can the dump truck come home today or not, or, you know, there's a lot of logistics to it, whether mm-hmm. we want to wash it or whatever it is, whatever the case is.
Okay. If you're washing it, I don't know that would fall within the scope of the permitted business use. You may be able to better to do that on your commercial property.
Yeah, our new facility is DEQ approved. Everything
yep.
is all the boxes are checked, and
great.
That's why it took so long.
Okay. So as Ms. Gonzalez said, it's in your best interest to clearly identify and distinguish between your personal use, your personal equipment, and your business use and your business equipment, in order to make sure that there's a clear line between those two. And also, as you said, you're going to do document what changes occurred on the property and how they're improving the property for residential agricultural use rather than commercial use.
Mr. Burrell had also commented that it was an old photo that was being used in the Rains report,
mm-hmm.
and that's not accurate. And I know that because one of the items circled on that picture is an enclosed box trailer with our truck and RV on it, and that was taken in November. And I know that because we just purchased the RV and we were coming back from hunting. So it is an accurate picture. I mean, it's definitely changed,
okay.
like he said, from mm-hmm. when the time that the property was built to today. But
And then just clarification for the record is We've never done anything in the stream or to the stream. There was a pond there when we purchased it, and we've never done any activity whatsoever over that stream, and we will never do any activity.
Thank you, sir. The other issue was the person. You said you had personal excavation, or had in the past, I don't know if you still do, equipment and trailers that you use on the site in your agricultural use. And that's going to be an issue with distinguishing that from your business use, especially if you need a trailer. If you're using it on the site, why do you need a trailer? You may need to, if you can address that during the open record, or if you're not, don't have a personal trailer for moving your personal excavation equipment, say so.
We have personal trailers, we have a farm tractor with implements, and we've had a small excavator before we even owned the business, and that was all for land improvements. So we clearly,
like I said, if
you
could document that during the open record period, that would be great.
Okay, we can do that. We can do so.
So I'm going to grab my calendar, but my headphones cord's not quite long enough, so I'll be right back. And set my calendar on my keyboard and changed everything. Hang on, let me get everybody back. There we go. So I'm going to hold the record open as requested. I'm going to hold it open for a total of 3 weeks. I'm going to hold it open for 1 week for anyone, the applicant and the public, to submit new testimony and evidence. Where are we at? 14th. So I'll hold it open until 4 o'clock. Is that when the county requires that things be received?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So I'll hold it up until 4 o'clock on the 21st of January for anyone to submit any additional testimony and evidence. I'll hold it open until 4 o'clock on the 28th of January for anyone to respond to whatever was submitted by the 21st. Again, the second week is limited to responses to what was submitted in the first week. No new issues can be raised at that point. The third week is just for the applicant to submit a final written argument without any new evidence to say, this is why we, based on the evidence that's already in the record, this is why we meet the approval criteria. That has to be received by 4 o'clock on the 4th of February. And then I will try and get my decision out within a maximum of 2 weeks, which would be the 18th of February. I'll send my decision to the county. County will send my decision to party of record. So if you've testified orally or in writing, you'll be sure and you'll receive notice of my decision when it's issued. Anything that you want to submit should be submitted to Ms. Gonzalez. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay. And again, has to be physically received by 4 o'clock on the relevant date. But that concludes our hearing for today. Thank you all for your testimony. I appreciate it. And have a good rest of your day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.